Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's how we do it.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks Thursday night footy.
And a very good evening, everybody. Looking forward to this one. Thanks to our friends at Swiftix. Buy, sell and earn crypto with Swiftix. Visit swiftix.com.au. Kick off your crypto journey today, Swiftix. And welcome to our commentary team today. First of all, Benji Marshall.
G'day, mate.
I saw you fleetingly up there at Magic Round.
Very busy.
Yeah, right.
It was good, though. I mean, I enjoyed the footy part of it, but it was the first time I actually got to experience as a non-player. You know, I was a bit of a fan there and got to see the whole actual atmosphere, the crowd, the fans, and really take it. Mate, I actually really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great atmosphere. I thought the fans were outstanding. And for me, it was just a weekend of work.
Yeah. Why not keep it in Brisbane all the time if it's going to be like that all the time?
Oh, I agree. But yeah. Take one to New Zealand, though.
Yeah.
Just to pay back the Warriors.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair idea. Fair enough idea. I probably think we don't need it here in Sydney with nine teams based here. James Graham, welcome to you.
Maroon, how we doing?
Mate, I saw some photos of you when you finished that half marathon. I just say to you as a bloke who genuinely loves you, mate, don't do it again.
No, I think my running days are over. But, hey, I've just got to go back to one of the points Benji was making about the Magic Round and it all being about work. That's not what I'm hearing, Mr. Marshall.
When you throw out a little bait, you catch marlin. I just caught one.
Yeah, you did.
it's the listeners that deserve to know the truth, Mr. Marshall.
I think a player of your ilk deserves to be able to just walk around from corporate box to corporate box.
Oh, no, I didn't do that.
What did you actually do?
I caught up with Adam Reynolds, had a few beers after their win, got to see the great Alfie Langer. He's funny when he's had a couple. Some great stories too. But no, I mixed a bit of work and pleasure together. A few skewies.
You got to know Adam pretty well at your time at South. And obviously you got a lot of things in common.
No, it was great. We just sat down, chilled out. And we sat in this little corner actually and just had a little chat about Brisbane. He really loves it up there.
Yeah.
I honestly think after he retires, he'll live there for good.
Yeah, his father tells me that he doesn't plan to ever come back. So it's a great story. Adam's up there playing great football. He's not playing tonight, which we're going to get to. And what does that mean for the Broncos? Because I'll tell you what, it can't be good. But we'll talk more about that. Let's start off with what's been happening this week. Trent Barrett and the Dogs part ways. Some might suggest it was only a matter of time before this happened. Others will argue Trent really still didn't have the cattle he needed to climb the ladder too far. Before I go to you blokes, let's have a listen to some audio from Doggies boss Gus Gould talking about Trent Barrett's exit.
Yeah, look, it's results-based, particularly with the fan base, and that put a lot of pressure on Trent, and you could see that he was sort of feeling it. I think the disappointment of losing that game last Friday night took its toll after the game. There was a report came out on Sunday afternoon that the board was meeting to discuss the coach's future, which was, you know, a rather embellished explanation of exactly what was happening with that meeting, because it was a subcommittee of the board. As I say, I don't believe at any time that Trent being sacked was on the table. I don't think that was ever going to be a solution. But then Sunday night, something must have happened Sunday afternoon, and 6 o'clock, right on the dot, I got a phone call from his manager, Wayne Beavis, who said that he was going to pull the pin.
All right. That's obviously Gus Gould, Phil Gould talking about the departure of Trent Barrett from the Bulldogs. I know that you've got plenty of emotion around this one, James Graham, plenty of feeling. Is something you want to say about the way that was handled?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Gus is saying there for a couple of reasons. Well, if all of a sudden, if he is the man for the job and he says he wants to pull a pin, convince him to stay.
Mm.
don't accept his resignation. Mm-hmm. If you're so convinced, and no doubt maybe Trent Barrett was doubting his ability to coach this team. Maybe he was, but then convince him he is the right man. And then also, what tends to happen around this is, you know, if someone resigns, I believe there's no financial payout. So that would be part of the narrative as well. Oh, he's decided to step away. And, you know, he even said he doesn't want to be paid for you know, a settlement payment or whatever it may be. Or you know, but if you're sacked, you normally do get that settlement payment.
Yeah.
So that would have been part of the narrative. Hey, he's walked away and he's not taking any money, because that's what happens when you walk away from a job. So that the fact that that's not entered the headlines, what that for me suggests is there's been a mutual agreement, and maybe a
could be a detective,
a non-disclosure agreement signed.
Yeah. Well, it's always, you know, the way this plays out, isn't it? It was the coach's decision. Either way, Trent's gone now. Trent's had two cracks at an NRL coaching job. You know, a lot of people, like, I feel like he probably still, with the cattle he had, Benji, wasn't given the time, but I don't know how. You know, on one hand, we say, you know, coaches and teams like the Doggies, like the West Tigers, like Newcastle, and, you know, these teams, that they need to be given time, but people, I heard somebody say the other day, it might have even been Gus, you know, yeah, sure, take all the time you need, but start winning this weekend, you know?
Yeah, well, it's a results-driven industry, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, you get judged on wins and losses. And I guess for everyone this season, they just, the expectation after the signings they made in the preseason is that they were going to go through the roof and make the top eight.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. Based on the signings, did you think they were going to go through the roof?
I thought they'd go better, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the headlines were everywhere after they signed all the players. How good have the Bulldogs recruited? That was the narrative everywhere.
Mm.
And now they've gone terrible. The narrative's changed to those signings were everyone's throwaways.
Yeah.
But they were good signings at the start of the year.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, though, Jammer. When you go out and recruit for a club like that, isn't it more important to buy the key players that you need rather than just buy the players that are available?
Yeah, well, it looks great on paper, doesn't it? But it's been awful on grass, which is where it counts. If you look at it, people can make a case for the team on paper, but they've been poor and awful when they've got on the grass. And, you know, in terms of signings, there's a couple of things that I really don't like. And, you know, they're talking about this rebuild now. So I've looked back and I've gone back to the table. I think it was 2017, if I'm correct, that the Bulldogs missed the finals for the first time. It was 2017.
Right.
Now, during that time, those other teams that were in the bottom eight, six of them have since bounced back to play finals. The two that haven't are the Dogs and the West Tigers. Mm. So normally, when you talk about a rebuild phase, fans are okay and they'll accept 1, 2, 3 years out, but they expect, and especially a huge club like Canterbury, they expect to bounce back quickly, and that hasn't happened. And the longer it doesn't happen, the more and more it looks like, and I say this with all due respect to the person that's in the room with us here today, the more and more it looks like the Dogs are going to be the new West Tigers.
Bench?
What?
Would you like to comment on that? But they are the West, the Doggies. They were a mighty club. You talked about them being a big club with big expectations.
They're still a mighty club.
They are a mighty club, aren't they?
Yeah.
You look at their record of making grand finals, winning grand finals, losing grand finals, playing in qualifiers, playing in the finals my entire life. They're a huge club. At some point, they will bounce back.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. Of course they're going to bounce back, and that's inevitable, but they just got to get it right, don't they, at the moment? And yeah, and the fact that Trent's gone is because of the results.
Yeah.
They won three games last year. They've won two this year. I honestly didn't see a lot of improvement in terms of the way they were attacking. I thought defensively they got a little bit better. But their attack, you know, and Trent's an attack coach from Penrith who had real great success with the way they attack. And maybe a part of what you said is right. The cavalry is not the same as what he had at Penrith.
Yeah.
And probably affected
but
that.
Nowhere near the cavalry. No. Nah. What I don't like is this talk of another rebuild and 18 months down the line.
Yes.
Right, if I'm and this player won't let me bring him up, but if I'm Josh Jackson and I'm the captain of that club,
I know what you're
how
say.
Am I supposed to motivate this group of men that are basically, they, you know, the writing's on the wall that they deem not good enough? What's Reid Marnie and Kickout thinking when they're coming next year? And Ryan Sutton from Canberra? What, we're not expected to play, like, so we're drawing a line through this. I think most people, realistic people, draw a line through this year. But basically you're saying you're going to draw a line through next year. Now maybe there's motivation as to why that might say, why people might say that, lower expectation, and then anything they do achieve next year is seen as a bit of a bonus. But I really don't like that message to the group, that especially people like Josh Jackson that go out there every single week and put his guts on the line and gives the his all his efforts, you know, for what?
Like, yeah.
Surely there should be, okay, this year's not being acceptable, but, you know, next year we're going to have a new coach. It's a new beginning.
Again. What about this? Obviously now they've named a standing coach, an interim coach in Mick Potter. Mick Potter has a long history with the Doggies through the 80s. He was a great player at the Doggies and the Dragons. He has had a stint as an NRL coach and a coach in the Super League. Your paths obviously crossed, James.
Yeah, I like Mick. He got St. Helens to a grand final while I was there. He did a tremendous job at the Catalan Dragons when he was there also. I do feel as if this appointment, it's a very safe one. He's obviously a Bulldogs legend, won two Dally M winners there. Two Dally M medals. One there when he was playing at the club. I think, you know, he's come from the Mounties, the affiliate club, the feeder club. I imagine he'll do the job there and then automatically go back to that no matter what. For me, the question is who's next? And it's quite alarming when, you know, the best young coach in the game, or the supposed best young coach in the game, in Seraldo at Penrith, has declared himself that he doesn't want it.
No.
So that for me is a worry. I thought that when a job like the Bulldogs comes available, people should be lining up out the door for it. Anyone who's anyone should want that. This should be a sought after prize. And it's, yeah, like I say, it worries me that the best young coach has moved to distance himself from it.
Benji, I'm a bit surprised that James Graham says that it worries him or that surprises him. I could see why someone like Cameron Seraldo or Jason Riles or somebody like that, he wants nothing to do with it. He's seen what's happened to the last couple of coaches. He wants to be a career coach. He probably feels like this could be the worst move of his career.
Well, I understand why James would be worried about it, because he cares about the club and he's been there and played in that system and he understands what the club's about, you know, so I can understand that. But like, if you think about it, head coaching jobs don't come around every day. There's 16 of them and 13 of them are probably not going to change for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So the fact that this opportunity is here at a big club like the Bulldogs and he's saying no now, that's a big, like, no-no on the club.
Yeah. What's Seraldo waiting for?
Yeah, exactly.
He's saying no.
What's he waiting for? The Roosters?
What is he waiting for?
That's the, you know, it doesn't paint the Bulldogs in a great light in my opinion.
That's my point, Benji.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my point, is the best young and up-and-coming coach.
But you'll find all the guys who are experienced and have done it before will put their hand up because they know how hard first grade coaching jobs are to come by.
Yeah.
And they just want to be coaches. So everyone's going to put their hand up.
Yeah, I guess going back to what you said with Cameron, I mean, I guess you think he's got this crew there now. Next year you're going to add to it Kickow and Ryan Sutton and Reid Marnie, and he still doesn't want to go there. So it does say something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's really sad. Like, obviously, I played a lot of football there at Canterbury, was captain of the club, and really don't enjoy seeing them in this position whatsoever.
I don't
think anyone does that.
No,
they're one of those clubs you just want.
Yeah, I think so.
You're used to seeing do well.
Yeah, and you just always assume they will do well. Even, I think, the last time they've won a premiership was 2004, but they've still managed to play in a couple of grand finals since. So hopefully they'll make it back soon enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting one about who does take over. Like, all the names that have been, mentioned, there's some positive signs there, but then there's a but. But will he work with Gus? But has he got the experience?
Well, who are these names? Well,
track players.
So yeah, all these different things. It's yeah. So you've got people like Flanagan. It's a there's a but. Mm. Can he work with the Sun? Can he work with Gus? Can the power struggle coexist? Same with Green.
Yeah, Paul Green, Shane Flanagan, Freddie Fittler.
Yeah, can they work together? Mm. You know, even when I mentioned on 360 the other evening, can Ricky Stewart, if they went and poached the best that's already out there, can a guy like Ricky Stewart work with Gus? Could a Todd Payton be attracted to come down? Like Todd's coaching got questioned at the Cowboys sort of the back end of last year and at the start of this year, but it's starting to show what type of coach he is now. You know, we hear reports of how uncomfortable he made the training environment, waking the lads up at 6 a.m. This is public knowledge.
Yes.
He sort of scrapped the sports science aspect of it. You know, we were talking about on 360 the other evening around how the training at the Bulldogs was legendary for being so difficult and so hard. Mm. I don't know what it's like now. But again, could a guy like Todd Payton come down, and would he be the type of person that could work with Gus?
And just
which begs the question, though. Does that mean that an experienced coach has to take the position? Because Todd Payton wasn't an experienced coach.
No.
But yet he's turned a development side into a big threat now.
This is it.
So it doesn't matter about experience. It matters about who's going to get the best out of the group.
Mm.
Because by all reports, aren't they going to lose like 20 players in the next year and a half or something and have a full cap to go out and buy players?
For me, Benji, as well, my emphasis wouldn't necessarily be on recruitment. There's an aspect of that, but I'd love to see some more development.
Mm.
It's been
like
such,
Perez.
Well, he's still got to prove himself.
Mm.
He's still got to prove himself. You know, it's been so long since that club has produced an Origin player, produced an international player, when they were so well known for that.
What do you think about the possibility, the other name that has been thrown in from out of nowhere, and he does get thrown around a bit now, is Christian Wolf.
Yeah. I love Wolfie. Yeah, he was a coach of mine at St. Helens, and I've got so much respect for him, and undoubtedly he will become an NRL coach. But again, I've not heard anything to say that he's thrown his hat in the ring publicly, which, again, is a concern.
Mm. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this situation with the Reynolds, with the Broncos, and no Adam Reynolds tonight. It's a massive out on the back of the four wins that they've had, and the way he played last week against Manly. It's a massive out. Can the Broncos do it without Adam Reynolds? That's the question, and we'll ask it next as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Right across Australia on the listener app or the Triple M you are now listening to. We all love the NRL. It's going to be a good game tonight. SwiftX, buy, sell and earn crypto with SwiftX. Visit SwiftX.com to kick off your crypto journey today. It's the only way to go. Broncos and Newcastle in Newcastle. So interesting things and plenty of them to come out of this game. Basically, though, the Broncos, forget about how many games they've won in a row here, Benji, because more importantly, they've got some pretty big scalps. They've beaten the Sharks, they've beaten South, they've beaten Manly. Yep. So they're travelling along okay. Obviously, last week, everybody talks about Selwyn Cobbo, but the big hero is Adam Reynolds. Yep. No Adam Reynolds tonight. Can they do it?
I'm not sure.
Mm.
I actually think it changes the landscape like dramatically for Newcastle, because if you look at the games that Brisbane have won, especially the last three with Adam Reynolds, I think the way he's controlled the game and kicked them into field position where their forwards don't have to turn around and go back as far and playing with the right field position, it makes it easier for guys like Payne Haas, Corey Jensen, Patrick Carrigan. It makes their game a lot easier. There's a young guy making his debut, Ezra Mam, who we might talk about later, and Tyson Gamble, but their game management is nowhere near what Adam Reynolds is. So for them, I think it changes a lot. And for Newcastle, I think it gives them a bit more confidence, especially with their new number six tonight.
Can you imagine being in the Newcastle dressing room and the team list goes on the wall, and the news is filtering through to your teammates, Reynolds is out?
Boom.
Like that, the lift that you're going to get from that is going to give you that little bit extra effort. Obviously, you know, the Knights would have been coming back from Brisbane with their tails up after a bit of a scrappy win against the Dogs to be honest,
yeah.
But you know, they come here to play Brisbane, and without their main man, you know, it's certainly closed the gaps quite significantly. And I think Newcastle, I think they've got Frizzell back as well. They'll be looking to springboard their season. They started so well with their first two victories.
Yeah.
So well. And then it was just a gradual decline. You know, for everyone Newcastle's sake, let's hopefully they're on the up.
Gagai, Frizzell.
Mate, they lost a lot of games in a row. They had a lot of injuries.
Mm.
Now's the point where they got players coming back. So the excuses of injuries starting to dwindle. Right, they've got Anthony Milford playing number six now, and they talked about playing halves who don't usually play there. Well, he's played Queensland as a 5'8". Right, I know it's going to be his first game back and not a lot of probably expectations, but he adds to that puzzle. I think Tyson Frizzell back, big in, and Barnett off the back of last week's performance after being suspended. I think they go up a level again today. So this could be the springboard to their season building. And if it's going to be ever a time, it has to be tonight for them, I think.
Yeah, of course, Gagai and Best. Gagai back and jumper number 20. That's a big in.
Yep.
We talk about, can they do it with Adam Reynolds? Or I'm just going to ask you straight out, Jammer, do you think, minus Adam Reynolds, they won't win tonight?
Yeah, look, I think it certainly it bridges that gap. But if you look at the confidence with some of these young lads that are, that have been playing with for the Brisbane Broncos recently, I still think they'll be riding that wave. And, you know, I can only assume they would have known Adam's been missing for a while or for a number of days. So it shouldn't have come as too much of a shock to them. I still think when you look at the strike that they've got out wide, strike that's in form as well, guys like Cobbo, Farnworth, Staggs, Corey Oates, you know, playing out of his skin, alongside Payne Haas and whatnot, I still think, and the competitive nature of a guy like Tyson Gamble, you know, he's not the best player in the world, but geez, he can compete.
I like that line. He's not the best player in the world.
I think he, by his own admission, he's not the most talented player.
But he
brings effort.
Yeah,
he brings energy, high energy type of player, and he'll relish that role of, you know, looking after his new number seven and just taking his game to another to that usual level that he's at, and he'll want to take ownership of this team. So I still feel as though the Broncos should just have enough to get home the victory tonight. Okay.
Not a terribly big crowd for McDonald Jones Stadium. I mean, Newcastle fans are famous for coming along no matter what predicament the team's in, and they are in a predicament now. They've lost seven of their last eight, getting a handy win over the Dogs at Magic Round. But seven of the last eight, you mentioned it, Benji, they have been absolutely struck with injury, as a lot of clubs have. But who's got to stand up from tonight? Adam Clune?
Well, I think it started last week and a few of them did stand up. I thought Kalen Ponga, again, I think he's getting better and better each week with the personnel that's coming back. And I think tonight will add to it. You know, having Dane Gagai back on one of those edges is definitely going to help. But for me, Kalen Ponga is the main guy. If he steps up, the rest come with him. Adam Clune was pretty solid last week, but you know, Ponga's the man. And if their forward pack play the way they did last week, where they were pretty, but their go forward was pretty good, I think they're a big chance tonight.
Ampol is the fuel that gets you there. Ampol is Australia's own. The Ampol keys to success. James Graham, the Broncos. Who's got to stand up today? Obviously, you mentioned a couple of them earlier, but no Adam Reynolds. We see this kid. We haven't had a chance to talk about Ezra yet, but we will. But by gee, he's got big shoes to fill.
Yeah, he sure does. He sure does. But for me, it's that combination that Payne has, no doubt. I'm looking forward to seeing how he matches up against people like Clemmer and the Saifiti brothers. But also, you know, I just want to see the form of the back five of Brisbane Broncos. I think that should be enough. They've got lots of strike power out wide. They're in form. I think that's the key to the victory today.
Okay, now in relation to Ezra Mam, this is the player that comes in for Adam Reynolds. Obviously, a lot of us haven't seen what he is capable of doing. He's the Intrust Super Cup player or rookie of the year, the Intrust Super Cup rookie of the year, and South Logan Magpies player of the year. Benji, you've got a little bit. You're a little bit across him.
Yeah, he's a really, really solid player. Not a big guy, but very quick. Got a pretty good ball-playing game on him, but he's really dangerous, really deceptive. And the challenge tonight's not going to be what he does with the ball. It's going to be defensively. And I think the Newcastle Knights will channel a lot of traffic down his edge. If he can hold his own there, and you know, it'll go a long way towards him winning, but look out for him. He does have talent. He's been on the radar for the last couple of seasons for the Broncos. And the Raps are pretty big on him.
Mm. I can't imagine, though, of all the positions you play on debut, to be playing at seven on debut, and you're standing in for Adam Reynolds, that he can't help but feel the pressure.
Oh, I think you'll feel a little bit of pressure, but everyone does when they make their debut. But the excitement sometimes gets you through that. You know, just how excited and how keen you are to get out there gets you through the nerves, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these kids these days, they go out there and they don't feel the pressure, or they don't play like it until they make a mistake or something happens where they have to show a bit of adversity.
Yeah.
So if he can get through the game, get a few good touches in early, make his first few tackles, he's a confident young kid.
Mm.
You know, so it'll go a long way towards that. But he's not Adam Reynolds, so the expectation should be a little bit different.
Okay. Ampol keys to success. We just go back to you one more time, Gemma, here. Obviously, the Broncos, some great big boppers up front, none other than Payne Haas. We expect a big game from Payne Haas. But, of course, we talk about the buys of the year. We're always talking about Adam Reynolds, but not forgetting Capewell as well there at the Broncos.
Yeah, he's been great, Kurt Capewell. He's been outstanding for them, really fit into their system so well. Brings a lot of those little plays that not many people see or many people witness or many people are looking to praise, but he's been a great buy for them. And, you know, the coach there, Walter, speaks so highly of him. You know, he wouldn't be a drain on resources, and that's exactly what you need. When you've got a young team like this, you need those seasoned professionals like Capewell to just come into training, drive standards, do their job, and then as a coach, you can focus your energy on development, young players like Cobbo, like Farnworth, and like Staggs.
Mm. It's amazing to think that if the Broncos can pull off a win tonight, they could be top four by the end of this round of footy. Are people starting to take the Broncos a little bit more seriously? Well, certainly they will if they do it tonight without Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, most definitely you're right there, Maroon. It's a bit of adversity that they're facing, not having their main man, their star signing in Adam Reynolds. So this will make the competition stand up and take notice if they get the victory tonight. I think they've started to creep into the thoughts of a lot of players, a lot of pundits, a lot of fans that, hey, they might be looking dangerous these next couple of years. I was having a chat with Gordon Tallis the other week and saying, you know, about Adam Reynolds and how he'll influence the team in sort of 5 to 10 years when Brisbane start challenging for a competition, to win a competition again. And he's of the thought that, no, it won't take that long. With Adam Reynolds here for the next 3 or 4 years, he thinks that they can win one within that. And that's within that time frame. And that sort of changed my thinking on it as well. They're certainly on the upward trajectory. They've got a great junior base there. And yeah, I think Gordon might be onto something.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other games in the round. There's some great games this round. And the Canberra Raiders have been struck down by this bout of the flu that's getting around. Apparently 8 players have gone down with it. Well, we'll take a break and come back and talk more about that as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to this game, McDonald Jones Stadium, Newcastle. The Knights take on the Broncos for round 11. Some of the other games that we'll have a quick look at while we've got the opportunity. Tigers take on the Doggies. This game tomorrow afternoon at 6 p.m. How often do we see this situation where a coach is relieved of his duties one way or another at a club and then the club somehow finds inspiration? Will this be the case with the Doggies tomorrow night, James, or will the Tigers beat them at home?
I certainly hope so. It's such a strange one, this, especially with the transfer of Naden and what's happened there with him putting in his request to leave or whatever it was and finding himself at the Tigers all of a sudden to then be playing against the Bulldogs 4 or 5 days later. It's bizarre, you know. And you know, the Tigers are another team that need a win. I certainly hope that the Bulldogs players find a response. You know, we spoke earlier in the piece around, you know, this new rebuild and whatnot and how long it's going to take, but I really hope it ignites some form of response and a bit of a, you know, the narrative for Mick Potter could be, no one's giving you any opportunity to win. Everyone hates you, everyone's off you, you're playing for your futures, all that sort of stuff. I'm backing the Dogs to get the victory against the Tigers this weekend.
You're going to take the Doggies?
Yeah, I am, mate, yeah.
Bench?
Who do you think I'm going to take?
I think you're going to take the Doggies.
No.
No, I don't think you're going to do that.
So basically, I tell you what Benji's saying there, money over blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Money over blood, yeah. Benji Marshall.
You know what? So you're going to Tigers are my family too, James.
Mate, don't buy into that crap. They're not your family.
You forgot about that.
They're the club that you happen to play for.
I've got a tattoo of them on my arm.
Yeah, but you've got blood playing for the Bulldogs and you're going with the people that pay you. You are showing your true colours here tonight.
Look, that's why I'm like, a dog.
He's your brother, man.
Yeah.
Back him.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah. But if they couldn't do it before, how are they going to do it now?
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, we want to back our coach up. Well, they didn't back him up.
No.
So what makes you think they're going to go and back a new coach?
I tell you what, next time you message Jeremy asking for inside information, hey, what's really going on there? I hope that he tells you where to stick your text.
You know what? I don't do that. I'm not like
mate,
you. I don't go and ring up all my mates'
mate,
phones.
Mate, you forget, I'm in the green room with you a lot.
Yeah, but do
I'm backstage with you a lot.
No.
Mate,
no.
You use him for information and then you're not even going to back him for
boring.
A response. Mate, come on. Benji.
This is boring me.
Nah.
Oh, that's a huge deflector shield, Benji.
That's not a deflection.
You spent a lot of time with Russell Crowe. Are you not entertained?
I am.
All right. Parramatta and Manly. Surely Manly can't be as bad as they were against the Broncos last week. They'll play for 80 minutes at CommBank Stadium. I think close, but they still lose. Is that how you see it, Benji?
Who's playing?
Parramatta and Manly.
Yeah, I think they'll lose. Manly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Turbo looked a little bit injured to me.
Yeah.
And the way they played, it just didn't seem like they were there, you know, for that 80 minutes. So there might be a bit of a bounce back factor, but for me, Parramatta, you know, they're a premiership contender in my opinion. I feel like they'll turn it up this weekend and get the better of them.
Mm-hmm. James.
Yeah, I think Parramatta should get the victory, and for me, Parramatta, they've been to Melbourne and beat Melbourne. They've been to Penrith and beat Penrith. They know they can turn it up on the big stage, but they have got to get it right on a week-to-week basis, and they have got to be top four if they're going to give this premiership a shake. It's as simple as that, and that's got to be the message to the coach. Don't be giving yourselves a pat on the back from 2 weeks ago. Boys, we have a genuine opportunity to lift that trophy come September. Let's not look back then and go, if we'd have beaten them, if we'd have got 2 points here, there, looking back at the table and ifs, buts, maybes. Let's give ourselves the best genuine opportunity of giving it a shake, which means finishing the top four.
Now, Dragons and the Warriors, this current coach that is under the grill, that is under the pressure, is Nathan Brown. And this game, a home game for the Dragons. Warriors, I don't know what to make of, because they were flogged by 70 about a month ago and they were beaten by a team with 12 men, but then they came back, showed a lot of heart to come back against the Rabbitohs last week.
Well, they were down by like something like 26-0 or something.
Yeah, 30-6, yeah.
And then came back 32-30.
Mm.
I think the second half they figured out, though, how they should be playing. You know, they didn't look so shackled in the second half. They started playing a bit of footy. They had few offloads. They got some of the biggest middle forwards going around the competition, but they just hit up after hit up. There's not a lot of second phase, but both those players are really capable of offloading, and I thought in the second half they did a bit more of that, and they look more dangerous. They look less shackled. If they can play like that and not stress out like the first 80, or the first 40, sorry, I think, yeah, they're a chance.
I think a lot of people are under the illusion that the Warriors are somewhere up in Queensland living in a camp where they're all living on top of each other. That's not the situation at all. They all live in their own homes with their own families in the suburbs in and around Redcliffe. So I'm wondering, is it still an excuse? And I'm asking this sincerely, is it still an excuse to say, well, they're playing away from home?
No, I don't think so. Surely they're used to it by now. But yeah, like I imagine some of them would prefer to be in New Zealand where they grew up and whatnot, and that's obviously where they've chosen to play at. But yeah, they're a bit of a mixed bag, the Warriors, aren't they? The performance against Cronulla a couple of weeks ago was beyond poor.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the Dragons this week, I was, you know, you've got to be devastated for them, the way they had to defend that opening sort of 10 to 20 minutes against the Gold Coast Titans, and then they had the game won again. They clawed it back. They had it won. And, you know, to go to the 90th minute and a little bit of class from the youngster Campbell. It was a sensational play, by the way, to take that run option on the centre field scrum. But your heart breaks for them. But, hey, there's no room for sentiment in this competition. You've got to dust yourself down and go again. And I thought the Dragons showed plenty of effort, plenty of guts, and they're a team that are improving, team that I'm obviously involved with as well. So I'm sure coming back to Cogra this weekend, the lads can put on a performance. Because if they play to their best and they play to their potential, which I know they're still realising, they should have enough to beat this Warriors.
But certainly there's... I have never, as a rugby league fan, been a fan of Golden Point, but we might get the opportunity to talk about that after the break, because we need to get to a break because we're almost at kickoff. Knights taking on the Broncos as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.